My name is Sophia Cahlin, and I am here with Professor Esther Wirtz from RPI, and we're going to be talking about women in STEM. Hi.
Hi.
How are you today?
Great, and it's great to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Yes, and I'm glad you were able to come down to the sanctuary and do this.
Yeah, it's been wonderful. This is my first time here, and I love it.
Awesome. So I have a couple questions. First of all, how did you get interested in STEM, the STEM field?
So I guess it depends if you want the serious answer or the sort of crazy answer, I guess.
Crazy answer,
yeah.
Definitely.
All right. So as a kid, I was really into science fiction, and I loved the idea of aliens. So I really wanted to meet aliens. But I'm not completely nuts, and I realized that the probability of me doing that wasn't very high, but that studying the stars would bring me closer to that sort of impossible dream. And so that's sort of what put me on the path of physics, just wanting to meet aliens. And then, you know, I just went for it. I did not end up studying astrophysics or stars or anything remotely related to aliens, but I stuck with the love of physics.
I mean, it's still pretty good. So what are you studying instead of alien life?
Yeah, so I'm interested in light-matter interactions. So basically, on the one hand, I'm interested in developing new techniques, new optical techniques that can allow us to investigate matter on the nanometer scale. So typically with an optical microscope, you can't do that because you're limited by what's called the diffraction limit. So you can't look at things that are smaller than 200 nanometers, or you can't distinguish features that are smaller than that. But my work is trying to break that limit. So trying to develop new ways to look at things optically with better resolution.
So you're going very small into
I mean, it sort of depends what you consider to be small. So a particle physicist would say that my stuff's still pretty big because it's on the nanometer scale and not, you know, on the fraction of angstroms.
And angstroms are?
They're the size of an atom. And a nanometer is a thousandth of the width of a hair, typically.
Okay. So for normal people who don't study light and matter interactions, that's definitely quite on the small side.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. So do you have an example of what this kind of new technology or new research that you're doing could be used for in like kind of everyday life or something?
So I don't know that you would use this in everyday life. The sort of the basic technique that I base my improvements on were developed. Those techniques were developed for biophysics. So it's a lot of sort of helping understand how bacteria work, so preventing disease and things like that. I'm one step back, I would say, from application. So I'm interested in understanding these light matter interactions in order to build devices that could be used potentially for a quantum computer or quantum information science.
Okay. So just kind of a background, almost like research area, and then letting other people kind of use that to
be proof of principle. So I do the understanding how the light matter interaction works, and then use that understanding to prove if I can use certain types of structures and nanostructures to have a quantum transistor, for example.
All right. So that was most of your information on kind of what you're researching in your school and field. And I'm curious, as part of my radio bucket, I'm doing women in STEM. So can you tell me more about kind of what you've experienced as a woman in the physics field? Like, have you ever experienced imposter syndrome? And can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes. So I think everyone experiences imposter syndrome. I think both men and women experience it equally. But women tend to maybe influence more by it, and it may last longer. So I've experienced imposter syndrome my whole life, and I have to admit that even though, you know, I'm a tenure track professor now at a really good school, I still, you know, wake up some days thinking, I shouldn't be here. I just got lucky. What am I doing? People are going to realize that, you know, I don't know what I'm talking about. So it's something that I still live with. And so I have to sort of fight it every day and sort of keep on convincing myself that I do deserve what I've gotten, or, you know, that I've worked hard to get here. But, you know, talking to my male colleagues, I know that they have also experienced this, but it's maybe something that they were more easily able to overcome, just because looking around them, they see lots of other white men in this position. And so
it's about representation, mm-hmm. and kind of knowing that you can make it because others similar to you, in whatever way that means,
right.
have made it before.
Right.
Okay. So, and you talked about, you know, discussing this with your peers in the field. What have you experienced from them in terms of, like, being a woman? Do you ever feel kind of outside, or like that they might look down on you in any way just because you're a woman and they're mostly
men? Yeah. I mean, so I would say that most of my interactions have been with, you know, my physics colleagues has been really good and positive. I can't think off the top of my head of any overt comments that were, you know, that anyone telling me, you don't belong here, you know, a woman shouldn't be a physicist or anything like that. I think the difficulties I've experienced have mostly been due to unconscious bias. And so those sort of little digs that aren't necessarily meant negatively, but come off as maybe you don't really belong here. So some of them sound positive on, you know, at first hearing, but then, you know, it sort of still feels a little upsetting. So things like, oh, you don't look like a physicist, which is my typical example, because, mm-hmm. you know, I hear it regularly, you know, from when I was a student till now, which, you know, what is a physicist supposed to look like? Why can't I look like a physicist? Or why am I not the representation of a physicist? And I do think things are changing, that now if you ask kids, somebody told me recently that a recent survey showed that if you ask kids, draw a scientist, now they do start drawing women with a greater or a greater fraction of them do that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, so those types of comments are really mostly what I've experienced. And there are all these things that sort of follow from that. So research shows that it's harder for women to get grants and to publish papers and to get promoted for all these unconscious reasons. It's not that people are actively trying to keep women out of the field or to keep, you know, women from getting promoted. It's just these unconscious thoughts that men are better at math and physics and science in general than women.
Yeah. That's really hard, especially I think getting those comments from men. They might say them thinking like, oh, whatever, it's just kind of a throwaway comment. But for women who may have experienced this before or have been experiencing it for their mm-hmm. whole lives, it's just kind of like, it's hard to kind of come back from that every time when it keeps repeating and happens again and again. It's definitely like overbearing in a way.
Yeah, absolutely.
So just one last question. What kind of message would you want to share with young girls or people interested in career in science, and like something that in order to encourage them to pursue such
a
thing?
I mean, I think, first of all, everyone has the same capacity for STEM, so science, technology, engineering, and math. So both women and men, people of color who are also underrepresented in the field, we're all very capable. And so, you know, if you discover that you like doing experiments in your backyard, you know, testing the water or whatever, you should not give up on that because someone tells you that you're not going to be as good as your brother.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Professor, for coming in and speaking to me on this topic.
My pleasure.
Have a good day.
All right, great. Thank you.